Coming up on KUCB News, Penn Air says its new fleet is performing well after 9 months, apart from a few mechanical problems, and Alaskans may soon get the chance to hunt emperor geese. Stay tuned.
Local news is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Thursday, February 16th, 2017. In June, Penn Air introduced a new type of aircraft to Unalaska, aiming to solve a longtime problem. Manufacturers don't really make planes for this type of island. 9 months later, the airline thinks it's finally found the answer in the Saab 2000. The high-speed turboprop has earned a 90% completion rate for flights between Unalaska and Anchorage.
There is no perfect airplane for Unalaska, unfortunately, but this airplane comes closest to being able to do the job correctly.
Danny Siebert is CEO of Penn Air. He's been with the company nearly 40 years, and he says the island's short runway and far-flung location have always made it hard to pick an aircraft for Unalaska. On top of that, Siebert says most planes are designed for the average American flight, where 60% of passengers are men, 40% are women, and each person is carrying about 30 pounds of baggage. For flights to and from the island, that's just never been the case.
Our mix of passengers is more like 75% male, 25% female, which means there's more weight in the cabin now than the airplane was designed for. And our average passenger carries sometimes almost 90 pounds of baggage.
Siebert says the Saab 2000 makes up for those oddities of island travel. It was built to fly 700 miles without a fuel stop, unlike the smaller Saab 340 it replaces. It also holds about 20 more passengers, fits more cargo, and shaves 45 minutes off the journey. The four planes in Penn Air's new fleet were originally used to fly NASCAR teams, including the car, driver, and pit crew. They're actually making history as the first 2000s to carry passengers in the United States. So far, Siebert says most Penn Air customers have been happy with the $27 million upgrade.
I've been hearing nothing but good things. People like the speed.
Take Kay Gumara, one of Unalaska's more frequent flyers. She's a high school senior who's already achieved airline MVP gold status, traveling for sports and other school activities.
The old planes were like really loud and smaller, but the new ones seemed like roomier and not as loud.
But Gumara also has concerns. Several of her flights have been canceled, not just for weather, but mechanical problems.
For our volleyball trip when we were coming back from regions, we were canceled for like 3 nights, I think. 2 or 3 nights in a row, we were like canceled because of mechanical issues.
Penn Air acknowledges the problem. Siebert says failed power units and overheated batteries have grounded planes for days, forcing passengers to wait as mechanics scramble for parts. He says it was especially tough early on.
When we first started flying them last June, we were only about an 82-83% completion rate.
As airline employees have gotten more and more familiar with the new planes, Siebert says that rate has steadily risen. He says it'll climb even higher when a fifth Saab 2000 joins the fleet this spring.
I expect when I get my fifth airplane, we're going to go back up around a 95% completion rate, with the majority of the cancellations will be due to weather.
The new fleet serves passengers to Unalaska, King Salmon, and Dillingham. When the fifth plane is ready, Siebert says the Saab 2000s will start flying to Cold Bay and Sandpoint as well. The planes are expected to last for 25 years in the regional market. The local Fish and Game Advisory Committee is meeting tonight. Members are discussing regulations for the king and tanner crab fisheries as proposed by the state's Board of Fish. The committee is meeting tonight at 6 o'clock at the Unalaska Public Library. The event is open to the public. After decades of conservation, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has submitted a proposal that would let Alaskans hunt emperor geese. If it's permitted, Aleutian hunters could harvest the bird for the first time in 30 years. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur has the story.
It's been a generation since Alaskans legally tasted emperor goose. In the early 1980s, populations of a number of different geese were in trouble. Emperor goose numbers plunged by more than half to less than 45,000 birds. In 1987, hunting for the geese closed, and it stayed closed for the past 30 years. 2 years ago, the emperor goose population rose high enough for managers to begin considering a hunt. Last year, the population hit an estimated 177,000 birds, and together, the three groups, tribal, state, and federal representatives in the Alaska Migratory Bird Co-Management Council, created and passed a plan to open a hunt for emperor geese. Patty Schwallenberg, executive director of the council, calls it a victory.
It's a victory for tribes in Alaska, but it's a victory for co-management in general because we did it together.
The effort began as just education, to explain which geese were vulnerable and people agreed to limit their harvest. That collaboration became the Co-Management Council. Underlying it are treaties with many countries stretching the entire flyway from summer to winter habitats. Between 80 to 90% of the emperor goose population breeds on the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. The birds are only found in Alaska and a peninsula in eastern Russia. Crystal Leonetti, an Alaska Native Affairs Specialist for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, says in Alaska, residents work together to grow the goose population.
We recognize the great sacrifice that elders have made to not have a taste of that special food for a long time.
But Leonetti cautions that the population is still vulnerable. It's about 60,000 birds above the threshold to sustain a hunt. Part of the problem is emperor geese don't behave like other geese.
So females don't nest every year. And another thing about their behavior that's peculiar is that they tend to stick together as a family unit. And when one is injured or taken by a predator or shot for subsistence harvest, the rest of them will stick around. So they'll either keep circling or they'll land and stay there near the one that was injured or taken.
The emperor goose subsistence hunt is proposed for April through August of this year with no permit or bag limit. The general hunt is proposed for the fall and winter and would issue unlimited permits with a 1,000 bird harvest limit for the state. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
If the general hunt for emperor geese moves forward, each region will be allocated a harvest number. Managers have suggested dedicating 175 birds for the Aleutians and 125 to the Izembek State Game Refuge. Public comment on the proposed hunt will be accepted through March 13th. Governor Bill Walker has declared Alaska's opioid epidemic a state disaster, and he's ordered state and federal money for overdose medication. In his declaration, Walker says responding to the epidemic has to go beyond local resources. The declaration pulls an estimated $4 million from the Department of Health and Social Services and from federal grants to fund naloxone distribution statewide. Naloxone is a drug that can reverse overdoses due to opioids. In a letter to state lawmakers, Walker says the declaration will not draw money from the Disaster Relief Fund or from additional state general funds. According to the declaration, crisis efforts may include creating a statewide overdose response program and allowing anyone in Alaska to dispense and administer naloxone. Governor Walker will announce more on his opioid response plan today. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.